Truly God is good. Amen. Truly God is good. He's worthy to be praised. I had the great opportunity. You know, we preached this morning in Montbello, and then this morning coming here. And usually if you preach once, your wife's like, you know, I've heard you once. I've heard you all week. And she didn't come to the second service, right? But my wife and my daughter are here for the second service. It's going to be the best sermon ever right now. So so my wife, Jamie's here. Wave your hand. My wife, Jamie, and our youngest daughter, Brooklyn, is here. Jamie and I have been married for 27 years and five beautiful kids. Amen. And two grandchildren who we get to just share life with every day. So it's just a blessing. Thank God for the season of life that we're in. And doesn't that sound crazy to say that? With everything that's going on in the world, everything that might be going on locally, everything that might be going on nationally, the people of God can still say, I thank God for the season of life I am in. Amen? No matter what comes our way, no matter what we are dealing with, the Bible tells us that we can count it all joy, right? Everything that we are dealing with, we are grateful for the reality that I know who's on the boat with me. I know who's on the boat with me. I know that everything I'm dealing with, that Jesus is with me. Amen. That he promised to never leave me nor forsake me. And so the joy of life is the fact that I'm not alone and you're not alone in that. And I just want to give you that framing today that you are not alone no matter what you're dealing with today, that God is with you. Are you glad about that today? Amen. It is Black History Month. It's the month of February, and no matter what folks try to do with it, it is a fact that it is Black History Month, and we celebrate it because, to be very honest, within our nation, we are a nation that has had some sins. Y'all understand that, right? As much as look, everybody will tell you that I'm one of the most patriotic folks, was raised by my grandfathers, who were both, one was in the Army and one was in the Air Force. We've always learned to have an appreciation for the freedoms and the privileges that we have in this country. But one thing that I've also known growing up in the church, that both of my grandparents said, hey, don't ever act like the country's been perfect, right? Don't ever act like we don't have some things that we do not need to confess and repent of, right? Don't act like we don't have some issues that God can only solve. Don't act like we've never, don't act like enslavement didn't happen. Don't act like those things didn't happen, because they did happen, right? And we have to be able to recognize those things, and then we have to be able to grow from those things and allow God to heal us from those things. Amen? Right? Sin has happened. Sin has happened in all of our lives. We go all the way back to the Garden of Eden, right? That's not the only place that we saw the manifestation of sin in our nation. We have a lot of things that have been as a result of sin. And so today, as we talk about Black History Month, as we talk about the context of what does that mean from a biblical standpoint, what does it mean to celebrate this? What does it mean to honor those who have paved the way, those who have fought the fight, those who have done these things? What does it mean for us as believers to face the giants that are still existing in our world today? Dr. King is famous for a quote that I want to get right here. And he said this, and I believe this is applicable to us in this season. He says, the ultimate measure of a man is not where he stands in the moments of comfort and convenience, but where he stands at times of challenge and controversy. It's not about where you stand when things are comfortable and easy, but where do you stand when things are challenging? Where do you stand when you actually have to take a stand against the very things that are contrary to what you believe? Where do you stand? And so we're coming out of 1 Samuel chapter 17, a very familiar passage of scripture. Everybody who knows about David and Goliath, raise your hand. Amen. Some good Bible readers there. So we're coming from a very familiar passage of scripture, and we're talking about David and Goliath. And I want to give you that context and to frame it under that quote that Dr. King said, is that, hey, it's easy to stand up when everything's great, right? It's easy to wave your hands when everything's wonderful. It's easy to take a stand when you're not going to deal with the persecution, when you're not going to be ridiculed. It's easy to raise your voice when you know that everybody in the room is going to clap. Right? So sometimes it's easy to worship, right? Because you're around other worshipers. But try to worship in a King Supers, Not right now, they're on strike. Okay, everybody be nice, right? Okay, but try to worship in a place where worship is not the norm, right? Try to worship in a place where everybody else is not worshiping. And it feels a little different. You feel like I'm awkward, I stand out, everybody's paying attention to me, right? It's easy when you're under the roof and you're with familiar people who you know are gonna say amen, right? But it's hard when we have to take a stand when there's opposition. It's hard for us to take a stand when we know there may be persecution. It's hard for us to take a stand when we know that we might lose our very lives. I want to submit to us today that in the world in which we live today, in moments that we live today, God needs some courageous people who know how to slay giants. Amen? God needs some courageous people who know how to slay giants. You go to the passage in 1 Samuel 17, and what I love about this passage is the Philistines, they had gathered there to do battle with the children of Israel, and the Philistines were standing on one side of the hill, and you had the Israelites who were standing on the other side of the hill, and in between them there was this ravine, and so they were ready to do battle. And every morning, in verse 16 it says, every morning and evening for 40 days, the Philistines came forward and took his stand, right? Every day, imagine this, for 40 days, the Philistine, Goliath, comes forward every day to bark his intimidation into the lives of the children of Israel, into the army of God, for 40 days straight. Some of you are dealing with stuff that's been barking at you for a long time. Some of you are dealing with stuff right now that is intimidating you, that is telling you that you can't, daring you to do it, challenging you to do it, to let you know that if you do it, there's going to be consequences. We got all of this stuff that is barking at us, all of this stuff that is trying to intimidate us, all of this stuff that is trying to get us to cower and run away instead of courageously fight. You know, everybody talks stuff until the bigger guy shows up. Everybody's tough, right? Everybody's tough until the bigger guy shows up, right? And so here they were, both sides of the ravine. For 40 days, he's doing this thing. And remember, this is not just an ordinary army. This is the army of God. They have experienced victory before. They've gone into battle before. They've won. They've not lost. And here they were in the midst of probably their greatest challenge, and they began to cower because what was looking at them was bigger than anything they had faced. Goliath was not good looking at 5'6¾". You got that one, right? Goliath was about 9'9", big old ugly guy. He was so big and so strong, they said that he had to have somebody carry his shield. This dude was intimidating. They had not faced anything like Goliath. Goliath had a reputation of winning. Goliath had a reputation of taking down anyone who would challenge. He had a reputation. And even though the children of Israel, even though God's army had experienced victory, all of a sudden they were intimidated because the thing that they were facing was like nothing that they had faced before. Let me tell you this. We are living in days facing things that we have never faced before. But what I love about history is that when you study history, you find out that my great-grandmama faced it before, right? I read history and I find out that my great-grandfather faced it before. And when they faced the giant fell. So if the giant that my grandfather had to fight and my great-grandfather had to fight and my great-grandmother had to fight has been defeated before, when this same giant shows up in my time, I don't need to be intimidated by the giant. I need to know to tell that giant, just like great-grandmama beat you and just like great-granddaddy beat you, I'm going to take you down as well. Amen.
See, the importance of us knowing our history, the importance of us knowing where God has brought us from, is to remind us in the present that when a giant shows up that you have never personally faced before, history records that that giant has a losing record. Amen. Here they were, Goliath, just talking stuff all day for 40 days, and they had become intimidated because Goliath would not relent. And I want to tell you, the problems that we are facing, we still see racism, we still see sexism, we see all of the isms that continue to divide us as a people, and I'm not talking about in the culture, I'm talking about in the church. Oh, let's not get, we got quiet right there, right? I'm not talking about in the culture, I'm talking about in the church, because the culture is doing what the culture is supposed to do. The culture needs Jesus. I'm talking about the people who are supposed to have Jesus. Those things should not exist within the body of Christ. Amen. But the reality is, if we're honest with ourselves, and look, we're family, we can talk about this. This is a family conversation. Within the body of Christ, we still are allowing the giants of racism and sexism and classism and all of the isms to divide a body that Jesus has united with his own precious blood. We are inside the body living in contradiction to what Christ has already accomplished. I tell people all the time, look, I am not doing no racial reconciliation stuff in the body of Christ. I'm not going to try to do that because it's already been done. That'll hit some of y'all in a second. Amen. Right? I don't have to take you through a workshop. I don't have to take you through all of this. All I need to do is bring you to the cross. Because he has taken the two and made them one. He has already accomplished it. And my job is not to be somebody who tries to bring us together, but to be somebody who walks in what God has already put together through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. See, the enemy's got us messed up. The enemy's got us fighting a giant that has already lost. See, the giants of racism and sexism and classism and all the isms that divide us have already been defeated at the cross of Calvary. Amen. They've already been defeated from an empty tomb when he got up and declared, I've got all power, heaven and earth in my hands. All of those things that divided us, all of those things that kept us separated as a people, he has already dealt with it. Somebody ought to shout glory for that. Amen. My job as a believer is to walk in agreement with God, and no matter what your color is, no matter what your height is, no matter your income, if you know Jesus, you are my brother, you are my sister, and we are called to walk in the unity that only Jesus Christ can cause. See, we're out here fighting phantom giants that have already been defeated because of Jesus Christ. David gets onto this scene, and what I love about David is, again, he was good looking, 5'6", 3/4. And David shows up on the scene, and David's posture was he was showing up in obedience. He had been taking care of his father's flock, and his father sends him to the front lines of the battle, and he sends him to the front lines of the battle to take food to his brothers who were on the battlefield. And so David goes, and he got up early in the morning. He left the flock with someone to keep it loaded up and set out as Jesse had charged him. And when he arrived at the perimeter of the camp, as the army was marching out to its battle formation, shouting their battle cry, Israel and the Philistines lined up in battle formation facing each other. And David left his supplies in the care of the quartermaster and ran to the battle line. And when he arrived, he asked his brothers how they were. And while he was speaking with them, suddenly the champion named Goliath, the Philistine from Gath, came forward from the Philistine battle line and shouted his usual words, which David heard. And when all the Israelite men saw Goliath, they retreated and they were terrified. Now, I love in the text, everybody who's been hearing these words for 40 days was already shook by them. They had become accustomed to the persecution. They had become accustomed to the negative tone. They had become accustomed to feeling defeated and terrified. But somebody new showed up on the scene, just bringing lunch. And the text says that David heard what had been said for 40 days. And David responded very differently than those who had been hearing the message for 40 days. David had nerve to be upset with what he heard. While everybody else around him was scared and everybody else was terrified, David had the boldness to say, "Who does this uncircumcised Philistine think he's talking to?" See, sometimes you got to be careful who you're around. Because not everybody around you is operating in courage. Not everybody around you is willing to face the giant. That not everybody around you is living boldly. Not everybody around you is not terrified at what the adversary, what the Philistine is saying. And David heard this and he said, David spoke to the men who were standing with them, "What will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel?" This is my kind of guy, right? This was not, he didn't sit and say, "Oh my God, he's so tall. Oh my God, he's so strong." David did not do any of that. What David did was say, hey, bro, somebody tell me what I'm gonna get if I kill this dude. Come on now. People have been scared for 40 days, and all of a sudden this little 5'6" and 3/4 guy shows up and says, "What am I going to get if I take this dude out?" Let me tell you, you need some people in your life that are asking the question, what's going to happen if we take this dude out? What's going to happen if we defeat the giant of fear? What's going to happen if we defeat the giant of complacency? What's going to happen if we move out of this place of fear and start to walk in faith and trust God to do the great things that God can do? You got to be around some people who are not intimidated and terrified by what the adversary or the opposition is saying. David's older brother came to him and he said, "Why'd you come down here? Who did you leave the few sheep with? I know your arrogance and your evil heart. You came down here to see the battle." And David says, "What have I done now?" He proceeded, it was with just a question. Did he turn from those beside him to the others in front of him and ask the other people? The people gave him this answer. And Saul heard about what David said. He says, he got in contact with Saul. Saul says, "You can't go out and fight this Philistine. You're just a youth. And he's been a warrior since he was young." Even Saul, the king, was paralyzed by fear. And he didn't know how to recognize courage when courage showed up, right? He didn't even know how to recognize it because he was so fearful that when David showed up, instead of being excited about this moment, instead of being excited about, man, this is what we need, Saul wanted to look at David and immediately give a deficit perspective about David. And he said to him, "You are too young to fight this battle." Let me tell you what you can't do in life. You cannot allow your life to be shaped by the deficit view of other people. You cannot allow your life to be shaped by the deficit view of other people. Just because you are young, just because you are this, just because you are that, does not mean that God won't use you to slay giants in and around us. Saul came to David with an excuse. David was like ready to go. Let's get this thing done. And the first thing he heard from the king, from the leadership, was, "Man, you are too young. There's no way it's possible. This thing has been fighting since he was young. You're just a cute shepherd boy. Barely got any hair on your face. How are you going to fight this giant?" Let me tell you what you got to do. David gives us this great example that you have to have the courage first to show up. Everybody say, courage to show up. Okay, the first thing you got to do is you got to have courage to show up. Sometimes the first step to victory is just you being there. right? Everybody else is sitting at home complacent. Everybody else is sitting at home not engaging. Sometimes the battle is won by you just showing up.
Say, show up. Y'all heard it, ask for volunteers to come to this great thing that's coming up. Sometimes, look, there's some victory that's going to happen there if you just show up, right? You miss out on some victories because you didn't show up. Man, you've heard many times, people say, man, we had a great old time at church. We had a great old time at this. And you miss it because why? You didn't show up, right? Sometimes the victory is simply in your showing up. David showed up. He was walking in obedience in the place that his father told him to go, doing what his father told him to do. And it was there in that moment, because he showed up, that David was able to exercise the courage to say, I am going to confront the giant. Because David showed up. David goes on, and he's in the text, and Saul said to him, David said to Saul, your servant has been tending his father's sheep. And whenever a lion or a bear came and carried off a lamb from the flock, I went after it and I struck it down and I rescued the lamb from its mouth. And if it reared up against me, I would grab it by its fur, strike it down and kill it. Your servant has killed lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, for he has defied the armies of the living God. So where Saul just saw David's youth, David had to let Saul know, nah, brother, I may be young, but I've got a testimony. I may be young, but I know what God has done in my life. And just like God has done this in my life, I know that God will do the same thing right now.
Young folks, however you define that, don't let anybody minimize what God has done in your life. There have been lions and bears that you have faced that you have won because of the power of God working in you and through you. And you need to understand that in this moment, that has prepared you to fight the giants that you are facing right now. You don't have to be old to be ready for the battle. You just got to know Jesus and his ability to do great things. Amen.
David said, look, I've never fought a giant. Never fought a giant, but I've taken out a couple lions. I've taken out a couple bears. And if I look at this situation, just like I look at those lions and those bears, then this Philistine has got no chance. So David showed up, and then not only did David show up, David had the courage to speak up. So you can't just show up, you've got to speak up. You've got to let folks know that you're there. Raise your voice and let them know, I'm here and I'm taking names, I'm taking prisoners for the glory of God. Amen. Okay, don't just show up and then be quiet and sit in the back. That's what they were doing. They were sitting there and they were cowering. They were afraid. But you got to show up and you got to speak up. You got to let folks know, look, I am here to win. That's what David was saying. I'm not here to go be defeated. I'm not here to say, oh, that was a gallant effort. David said, I am here to win. And he let it be known to Saul and to everyone around here, I am here to win. And you've got to be able to let folks know, hey, I'm showing up and I'm speaking up and I'm letting you know that I'm here to win for the glory of God. Amen. Anybody here to win for the glory of God? Amen. When you look at the conditions that are going on in your community, you look at the conditions that are going on. Is anybody here saying, I'm showing up to win for the glory of God? Amen. I'm showing up to win. Showing up to win for the glory of God. I'm showing up so that everything that would defile, as he said, that would defile the army of God, everything that would mock God, I'm showing up to win. Amen. David said, Saul said to David, go and may the Lord be with you, right? But you got to imagine, Saul's looking at this young guy, and Saul's like, this boy is crazy. Amen. Saul's looking at him, look, I love your energy. I love your energy. You know, you got to hear. Saul's like, hey, I love your energy, man. I wish my whole crew had it, but I love it, man. Go do your thing. Saul's probably thinking in the back of his mind, yeah, Jesse going to need somebody else to watch his sheep after this, right? That's what Saul got to be thinking. Saul got to be thinking like, man, so much energy, so much enthusiasm. Too bad he's dying today. You know, that's what Saul was thinking. He's like, this little guy, David, he's so cute. Oh, look at him, right? Never fought a battle. So I was just like, hey, man, yeah, okay, do your thing. May the Lord be with you. At least Saul had enough sense to tell him that he let the Lord be with you. So he goes on, and Saul in his own military clothes put on David. I love this. David is getting ready to fight. Saul puts on David what Saul knows. Okay, hear this in the text. Saul puts on David what Saul knows for battle. And he thinks, okay, if you're going to fight, then at least let me dress you in what I think you need to put on to win this battle. And David says, hey, man, you might be a little bit taller than me. This don't fit, right? It's kind of loose and all this and all that. And David said, wait, I can't fight this battle in something I haven't tested. He said, I can't fight this battle the way you need me to fight this battle, Saul, because I just don't think there's victory in it if I do it the same way. David spoke up even more and said, look, bro, I can't fight the way you think I need to fight. He said, I can't walk in this. I'm not used to them. Instead, he took his staff in his hand and chose 5 smooth stones. Now, I remember my grandfather preached a sermon one time, and he said, hey, the reason why he had 5 smooth stones is he already knew he just needed one, and then he had 4 other ones in case Goliath had some cousins, right? Because you know cousins is always hiding in the bushes, amen? And anytime you fight one, here they all come, right? So you got to be ready for those cousins, right? So he had those other 4 smooth stones to be ready for those cousins. But he had to use what he was familiar with. And if you pay attention to how God has brought victory in your life, you know what you're familiar with. You say, look, I got to pray my victory down. I got to praise my victory down. I can't put on what you got on. It doesn't fit. I ain't tried it, but I do know what works. Sometimes you got to be okay with just reaching down and grabbing your 5 smooth stones. It may not look as fancy as the armor. It may not look as fancy as the wardrobe that Saul has, but you've got to use what works for you. The Philistine came closer and closer to David with a shield bearer in front of him. And when the Philistine looked and saw David, he despised him because he was just a youth, healthy and handsome. And he said to David, am I a dog that you would come against me with sticks? And then he cursed David by his gods, and he said, come here. The Philistine called to David, and I'll give your flesh to the birds of the sky and to the wild beasts. I tell this to the younger generations who are fighting battles that maybe our grandfathers and our grandmothers and our great-grandmothers and great-grandfathers have fought. Let me tell you, it's not going to be easy when you're fighting for the right thing, right? And the rhetoric and all of this stuff is going to get intense, and the rhetoric is going to get hot, and some of the actions are going to be painful and all of this kind of stuff. And you can't back down just because somebody's good at talking stuff, because that's all Goliath was doing. He was selling wolf tickets, right? Simon tell me all the time he can play basketball, but I ain't seen it. You know, he tell me all the time, that's just some wolf tickets, man. Until we get on the court and I see the jumper, you don't have a jumper, right? So all Goliath was doing right now, Goliath was just talking stuff. And you cannot be shook by somebody who's just talking stuff. You cannot be shook because somebody says something harsh and somebody says something mean. You can't relent in the work that God has called you to do just because the opposition is loud. Goliath was loud, and David, I love him again. David is my guy. David said to the Philistine, look, bro, you come, and bruh's not in the text, so, you know, don't feel, you know, but that's me, right? He says, bruh, you come against me with a sword and a spear and a javelin. I love this. This is David now talking stuff back. He's saying, okay, who's scared of who? He's saying, right, who's scared of you? I got a staff, and I got 5 smooth stones, but you tell me I'm just a little dog, and I'm a stick, but yet you've got this javelin, you got this spear, you got this shield. So Goliath, who's really scared of who? Man, I love David, man. I want to talk stuff back to people just like David. Like, who's really scared of who? He says to him, look, you come at me with all of this physical stuff, but I need you to understand that today
the Lord will hand you over to me, and today I will strike you down, remove your head, and give the corpses of the Philistine camp to the birds of the sky and the wild creatures of the earth. Then all the world will know that there is a God in Israel. David understood that the reason he was fighting was not so that he could get a victory on his scorecard, but so that all of the world would know that there was a God in Israel. So you got to remember, we are fighting. Goliath just wanted a notch. Goliath just wanted another victory. Goliath just wanted to conquer somebody. But we fight for a whole different reason. We fight to elevate the name of our Savior. We fight to elevate the greatness of our God. We fight every day so that the world may see our good works and give glory to our Father who is in heaven. He says, you got to have the courage to show up. You got to have the courage to speak up, and you got to have the courage to stand up. Man, you got to stand. When it's your time to go, when you were called to get on that battlefield, you have got to be on that battlefield, and you cannot cower like everybody else. Look, don't count on everybody else going to the fight. It's you. It's you. Nobody else. You didn't see it in the text. It doesn't say that people started to line up with David. Doesn't say that his brother said, all right, man, we with you. No. David was by himself. And sometimes you are going to be by yourself as you face giants. Sometimes you are going to be by yourself out front as you challenge the isms that defied us as a people. Sometimes you are going to be out front by yourself, nobody with you, but you've still got to stand. Those of you, the moments where we are tested the most is when we've got to stand by ourselves. And you'll find out in life. Some of our elders in this room will tell us, you'll find out in life. That's where you find out more about God, is when you're by yourself, as just you and God. And it will happen more often than you know in your life, where you will have moments where you have got to be the one who takes the defining stand for the glory of God. You by yourself, even if nobody goes with you. David goes on, and when the Philistines started forward to attack him, David ran quickly to the battle line to meet the Philistine. And David put his hands in the bag and took out a stone and slung it and hit the Philistine on his forehead. And the stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down to the ground. And David defeated the Philistine with a sling and a stone. And then David overpowered the Philistine and killed him without even having a sword. David ran and stood over him. He grabbed the Philistine's sword. This is a bad man right here. He grabbed Goliath's own sword and did to Goliath what he told him he was going to do to him in the first place. He said, bro, you done pushed up against the wrong one, because I'm going to cut your head off and I'm going to feed you to the birds. So he took Goliath's own sword. The text says, he pulled it from his sheath and used it to kill him. Then he cut off his head. And when the Philistines saw that the hero was dead, they fled. I love that. When they saw that their hero was dead, when they saw that the one who had been exercising the intimidation, the one who was making the army of Israel cower, when the Philistines saw that their big bad bully was dead, they ran because they knew they couldn't mess with that. And I just want to believe that all of these isms and stuff that have crept into the body of Christ, I just believe that there was a people of God that stood up boldly against those things. If there was a people of God that stood up boldly against those isms and those destructive things that keep the body from operating the unity that God talks about in John 17, I just believe that all of those other things would just flee, because they would finally understand there is no victory here in the body of Christ. There is no victory here. You can't divide us, because he has united us. You can't break us apart, because in him he has made us one. You can't divide what God has brought together. I just believe that if we were courageously standing, not afraid of the giants, but courageously showing up, courageously speaking up, courageously standing up, and the courageously slaying giants, not only would we be stronger, more vibrant, more courageous as a body of Christ, the world around us would be changed, because we were truly changed by the power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, when I think about all of the things that I've learned from my grandparents about the historical journey of Black people in this country, when I think about the historical journey of how we have gotten to where we are, I thank God that I come from a people who were not afraid to face giants. I'm glad that I come from a people who, when they saw racism that told them they can only drink in certain fountains and eat at certain lunch counters and live in certain neighborhoods, I'm glad that they were not intimidated by the giant, but they boldly stood up to the giant and said, my humanity is just as equal as yours. My imago Dei is no less than yours. I too am an image bearer. I too am a child of God. And they boldly faced the giants, because they understood that the victory belonged to them because of Jesus Christ. They were not intimidated, even though dogs chased them and water hoses were sprayed on them as they marched for justice and equality, even though their houses were attacked and bombed and crosses burned in their yards, and even though they were unjustly jailed, even though they went through all that they went through, I thank God for my elders, my grandparents, my great-grandparents who stood boldly against the giants in their day because they knew that they had the victory in Jesus Christ. They were not intimidated by the storms. They were not intimidated by the hate. They were not intimidated by the darkness that tried to creep in. But they stood boldly and said, in our time, we will face the giants. And I want to submit to us today that we have to answer the call in our time and face the giants. We cannot pretend like things are not happening. We cannot pretend like evil is not trying to raise up its head within the body and outside the body. We cannot pretend like there is still not hate and harmful things being done to people. We cannot believe that people are not being unjustly killed. We cannot believe that these things are not happening. It is the people of God who must open our eyes and stand boldly and fight the giants that would keep us divided. It must be the people of God who say that love will win because God is love. It must be the people of God who stand boldly and say that we will love our neighbors as we love ourselves. It must be the people of God who boldly see people on the Jericho road of life and we stop to serve them, to help them, to lift them up for the glory of God. It must be the people of God who are not just comfortable and complacent, but it's the people of God who in these moments of conflict, in these moments that Dr. King spoke of, these moments where we will stand and truly express the true measure of who we are. See, it doesn't tell me anything about God when you don't show up or speak up, when you don't stand up, and when you don't slay giants. It tells me everything about you. That's what Dr. King was saying. In these kind of moments, what will history say about you? In these kind of moments, what will the record record about where you stood in the battle? In these kind of moments where God is calling us to be salt, to be light, to be a city on a hill, what will the record say that we did for such a time as this? How will you give your life? How will you give your time? How will you give your resources to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God? How will the record read of your life when future generations hear of all that we are dealing with today? What will the record say you did? Will you show up like David? Will you speak up like David? Will you stand up like David? And will you slay giants like David, or will you be missing in action? That is the question before you today. Will you show up? Will you speak up? Will you stand up? Will you slay giants? That is our call. That is why we are alive. That is why God has us here for such a time as this. Let's pray.
Gracious God, we are grateful today for your word and this passage in 1 Samuel 17, just to give us an illustration of what it looks like when an unexpected person faces a giant that everybody thought was not able to be defeated. Thank you, God, that you have, through the life of David, showed us the value of showing up, of speaking up, of standing up, and ultimately slaying giants. We pray for your wisdom. We pray for your guidance. We pray for your filling. We pray, God, that you work in us and you work through us to boldly do the things that are necessary in the days in which we live. Remind us that we are salt. Remind us that we are light. Remind us that we are a city on a hill. Remind us, God, that for such a time as this, we are alive to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. Don't let us be intimidated. No matter how long Goliath has been barking, no matter how long the opposition has been spewing intimidations, no matter how long the opposition has been defiling you and disrespecting you, and God, let us be bold sons and daughters of the Most High God and stand boldly in this season of battle, in this season where you are calling us to show up, to stand up, to speak up, and to slay giants. We thank you, God, that we have the victory in you, and we walk in that today. In Jesus' name, amen.